say. If you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Breaking news. Looks like DeMarco Murray's going to the Eagles.
Yes.
And that Ryan Matthews might not be going to the Eagles.
That's a big deal.
I think that is a big deal.
Bad for Dallas.
Bad for Dallas. Bad
They're
for
on
Dallas.
The ropes now.
Some Browns rumors out there as well.
Addressing the quarterback position?
Well, yes. I was going to use that as that was going to be number three. I was going to build to that as a crescendo. Number one would be Parrish Cox, the cornerback, reportedly here in Berea today as the Browns look to bring in a veteran corner who can replace Buster Skrine in that secondary, who has left and also gone ahead and gone to the New York Jets, where he got 4 years, $25 million. The other rumor would be that Charles Clay seems to be a coveted guy for the Browns at the tight end position. We've talked about that a little bit. He's been transition tagged by Miami. Miami reporting he's in Buffalo now, but is expected to come to the Browns and give them an opportunity to make their pitch, because when you're transition tagged, you can only sign one offer sheet. So we're seeing there. And then the third piece of news out there, the third rumor that's out there, is that the Browns have signed Thaddeus Lewis. Quarterback, played for the Browns back in 2012, started one game there, 22 of 32, 204 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Then he went to Buffalo, where he was in 2013, starting three games for the Bills when Mike Pettine was the defensive coordinator. He completed 60% of his passes, 1,092 yards, four touchdowns, three interceptions that season. Quarterback rating for his career, 81.4. I believe Thaddeus Lewis here to drive competition at the quarterback position and in the quarterback room. Another young quarterback coming in here. If you're looking for me to come out and say that Thaddeus Lewis is the answer, I think Thaddeus Lewis, again, coming in, bring some competition, bring another guy who's been in the league for a couple of years to work with Josh McCown, and compete with them and Connor Shaw as well.
I agree, and I think it's someone who's familiar with Cleveland, not so much this coaching staff, this system with John DeFilippo. I think it's something safe, and like you said, it drives competition very similarly to the way, you know, the Houston Texans at sometimes, carrying 4 and 5, quarterbacks on their roster, none of which in many people's eyes was a legitimate starter in the National Football League. And in some cases, we believe we have two legitimate potential starters here on the roster right now in Josh McCown, who's had a storied career, 10 plus years in the National Football League, some ups, a lot of downs. But we believe he can return to form as he did with the Chicago Bears. And, of course, as you always say, Nathan, the path of least resistance to securing a quarterback of the future is the fact that Johnny Manziel writes his ship in treatment personally. And then, as John DeFilippo has said, gets enamored with the game of football and turns into the future here at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely. That's what you certainly hope, and I don't think this has anything to do with that and the ultimate plan. Thad Lewis, I think, being brought in here to just be another quarterback in the room. You got a lot to go through in the OTAs, mini camps, and, of course, training camp, and he's somebody who will continue to drive competition, but we certainly don't need to spend a ton of time on it as he is making his way around the building here today and will be the newest member of the Browns on apparently a one-year deal. Those are the early reports from Rand Getlin there, and it sounds from his reports, I don't know if this is true or not, and when we get the press release, we'll certainly let you know, but that Lewis is on a deal where it would only be guaranteed money if he's on the roster come season time. So he's basically coming in for a tryout.
1 year vet minimum, with nothing guaranteed, no bonus, and simply he's a, for lack of a better word, he's a body on the roster, that's going to have to prove his way, and in some cases, his best opportunity, if we do not add another quarterback to this roster, he's competing with Connor Shaw to be the third quarterback on this roster.
And he's back home in Cleveland with the Browns, as I said, in 2012, the Bills with Mike Pettine in 2013, Thaddeus Lewis back with the Browns. Today we're going to hear from Dane Brugler, NFLDraftScout.com, CBSSports.com, NFL Draft expert. We'll talk to him if he's going to see what his most recent thinking is on what the Browns are going to do. We'll talk to him at 1:30. We've got sound bites from Chip Kelly, who had a heck of a press conference, I thought, yesterday, and now has pulled off the coup of getting DeMarco Murray. So we got rid of the leading rusher in the NFL in 2013. Is going to be bringing in the NFL's leading rusher from a year ago, DeMarco Murray. He got rid of Nick Foles, who threw for 27 touchdowns and two interceptions for him in 2013, and has brought in Sam Bradford.
Now he's got the roommates back.
He's got his roommates back, and apparently Bradford and Murray, who are college roommates at Oklahoma, were talking a lot about this. He hasn't replaced his receivers, though, and I don't know if he cares about that, but clearly he went out there and got arguably the best back on the market in DeMarco Murray. And now if Adrian Peterson doesn't end up in Minnesota, the leading rusher in the NFL in each of the last 3 years will have changed teams this offseason.
It's insane. And what's very surprising to me, and I know that DeMarco Murray, you know, because of the down running back market, will probably come to Philly and take less money than Shady McCoy would have been making in his, you know, maybe third year of his extension in Philly, and definitely less than he got, you know, extended in Buffalo on his new deal after the trade. I personally feel, understanding that Chip Kelly's system, watching Oregon, you know, which, you know, even this year, it's still a rendition of Chip Kelly's offense, watching the Philadelphia Eagles, I personally still feel that LeSean McCoy is a better fit for the diversity of a running back in that offense than DeMarco Murray will be.
I think what Chip Kelly said is that he didn't like the dancing. He didn't like side-side. He wants somebody who just gets up the field and is quicker north-south, which Murray is.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's why he liked Gore, because Gore's just going to hit the hole and not dance.
Exactly. It makes a lot of sense. The one thing I think that Shady McCoy in the open field, out of the backfield as a receiver, is a little bit more unique in his skill set than DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, to me, was a check-down guy, a screen guy, which Tony Romo used very, very well, which we hope to see here as we've asked John DeFilippo as a part of his system. Get those backs the ball, get them in space. They're superior athletes over linebackers and some safeties in the National Football League.
So one thing I wanted to ask people today, and this is an interesting way to think about it, because right now people, you know, obviously Jabal Sheard's gone to New England. I think that's a great signing for New England. Buster and Brian Hoyer are gone as well. What I wanted to know from people, if you sign those guys on those contracts that they signed right now, so Buster 4 years, 25, Hoyer 2 years, 10 and a half, and Sheard 2 years, 11, do you think that you could trade them right now for 2/4 and a fifth? Do you think you could get that in return for those guys? Because basically that's what you are doing when you go in this compensatory pick. Now, I'm not saying straight, it's just a benefit of what happens. And look, you know, I'm curious. I wonder what things are like in Baltimore right now. And granted, Baltimore's won a Super Bowl. They've been a winning team. So it changes the perspective. But if you're a Ravens fan, are you upset that Haloti Ngata was just traded and Torrey Smith is now in San Francisco and they haven't added anybody?
Yes.
And Jacoby Jones gone. They're doing the same thing. They're getting compensatory picks.
Absolutely.
Accumulating draft assets. So I'm just curious, like, when you think about it in that way, is that what you think, you know, about, is that what would you think about that? Would you think if the Browns were just accumulating assets, yes, that's good. We know Ray Farmer has shown that at least in the middle rounds of the draft, he's been excellent, and I think he'll be excellent in the first round this year as well. But just curious way to see if you think about it. Think about the salary implications of it. Think about what you're getting, and think about how the NFL values draft picks. Think about the fact that a guy like Brandon Marshall is just traded for a seventh, and for the Browns in this, by doing it this way, you're going to end up with a couple fourths and a fifth, maybe a third, depending on how it all ultimately ends up breaking down with what the Browns are able to do bringing in free agency. And in terms of if you're the Eagles, you've got to be thrilled that you get rid of LeSean McCoy, you get DeMarco Murray, you get Kiko Alonso, and you get about probably when it's all said and done, $4 million in cap space.
So yeah, there's a method to that Chip Kelly madness, you know, that everybody questioned about, you know, how and why he was doing these things. And as you have referenced, the number of producing players and the yards that they've accumulated over the last 5 years or even 3 years in that system with Chip Kelly, where they have gone and what they have to work with left. But he's filling that void. And again, there's a method to the madness. He's getting players that he wants to fit his system and then some, which is that $4 million in cap space.
Yeah, so that's Chip Kelly does have a method to his madness. He is saying that he does not want to go after Marcus Mariota. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. One thing that came up, and I'm curious about if this is, I don't even know if this is even possible, but this morning I was at the Less is More sports panel, and it was brought up that, you know, there's starting to be a lot more rumors that the Redskins at 5 might take Marcus Mariota. And if they took him, then they would go ahead and look to shop RG3. Would that be somebody that the Browns would be interested in?
Would a fourth or fifth round pick be enough to go get RG3? Because you got to remember, the Washington Redskins leveraged multiple years to move up to number 2 to take him.
Right. They mortgaged their future.
Correct.
And now they would be ready to move on.
But ultimately, they mortgaged their future, And it might be time to move on simply because they're going to be back inside the top five with an opportunity to get another franchise quarterback. You know, they leverage their future. That future didn't happen with RG3. So now their mentality is, we got to move on. And that's where you got to think, would you like to see RG3 here in Cleveland?
Just curious. I just wonder. It was one of the questions that was asked, and it seemed to me like perhaps that'd be something they would look at. It's interesting. Now, free agency again yesterday, if you saw, again, people want big spending in free agency. You saw Tampa Bay basically cut everybody that they signed in free agency a year ago.
They did.
Which is certainly...
still on the hook for a lot of money, too.
Yes.
I mean, Michael Johnson's $7
million.
$7 million?
Yeah. Yes. Louis Riddick, who shares this opinion on ESPN, just said the teams he likes the best have been on the sideline waiting for value. Browns, Ravens,
Chargers.
Chargers.
Cowboys have lost, I think, five or six free agents and haven't signed anyone.
Yes. So it's just an interesting approach to it. But again, we're going to talk draft. We will be able to confirm the Browns signing of Thad Lewis, hopefully shortly. He had been with the Browns, the Bills, and then was with the Texans as recently as last year when he was inactive for three games and active but did not play in two, and was just recently released. Coming in just for competition, this is not...
Sure.
I don't think this is the Browns looking to say that we've made this huge splash at the quarterback position, and I think it's just bringing in for competition. That's what, you know, everybody has certainly been talking about here with this team, about competition, getting another quarterback in the room who's played in the NFL. Obviously, Mike Pettin has some experience with him. He's a mobile guy. Kind of fits into that mold with Johnny and Connor Shaw. But again, this is not a groundbreaking situation. And I know all you on Twitter are looking for me to come out there and bring some a parade for Thad Lewis. I'm not going to do that. But I think, you know, it is what it is. We'll see, give him a chance to compete and see if Thad Lewis ends up on this roster when it's all said and done or not. I don't think this is a massive, massive deal. 216-578-0850 when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We get your phone calls. I'm sure you guys have lots to say, and I will be hearing from you along with my man Matt Wilhelm right after this.